Well, hello and welcome back to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am, of course, your seasonal host, David Connolly. I was going to sing a little Christmas carol, but I will spare you that. So, to let you get on with your own festivities wherever you are around the world, this news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including that source, visit the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And of course, from myself, Diego, and of course Dave Horrocks, away there in snowy Canada, a very, very happy Christmas to you all. This will, of course, be the last podcast of 2011, and there'll be a bumper edition coming in the new year, along with my essential bloopers as well. So what have we got for this last festive podcast? Well, we have Neolithic site being discovered in northern China. And then, good news, the Mesolithic site Star Car has been given protection by the British Heritage Minister. Then we've got prehistoric artifacts unearthed at a country house in England. And Neanderthals are building homes with mammoth bones. There's a Neolithic jade ring being returned to Jersey. And there's a look at brain structures and how they separate us from Neanderthals. Scientists discover Oatsy's last meal. I have to say that Oatsy's becoming the new Stonehenge, actually. He keeps on popping up every week, it looks like. And a 9,500-year-old spear point is discovered in Iowa. The enigmatic standing stones of Al-Rajajil in Saudi Arabia are looked at in some detail, as are an amazing 3,600-year-old high status structure, which has been found in China. We end with, I was going to say Christmas carols, but we'll see what happens towards the end. Anyway, let's get on with the news. After more than 40 days of excavation, that's very biblical, that, archaeologists found a site dating back to the Yangshou culture in Zhenzhou County of Shanxi Province, a well-preserved pottery kiln dating back to the Xi and Shang dynasties from 4,000 years ago was also unearthed, providing valuable information about ancient ceramic firing techniques. The Yangshou culture was a Neolithic culture that existed extensively along the central Yellow River in China. It's dated to around 5,000 to 3,000 BCE. The Yangshou gets their name from the first excavated representative site of the culture, which was discovered way back in 1921 in Henan province by the Swedish archaeologist Johan Gunnar Andersson. Now, Heritage Minister John Penrose has protected one of the UK's most outstanding sites, whose importance has been established through work by the University of York's Department of Archaeology. On the advice of English Heritage, the early Mesolithic site at Star Car in North Yorkshire is being made a scheduled monument for its rarity and archaeological importance. The designation provides legal protection for the site, where last year a team of archaeologists from York and University of Manchester discovered Britain's earliest surviving house. The house itself dates back at least 9,000 BCE, so that's 11,000 years, when Britain was part of continental Europe. The research team unearthed the 3.5-metre circular structure next to an ancient lake at the site near Scarborough. They also excavated a well-preserved 11,000-year-old tree trunk, with its bark still intact and the earliest evidence of carpentry ever discovered in Europe. Now, potentially Bronze Age artefacts found at Anglesey Abbey, which is a country house about 9 kilometres northeast of Cambridge in England, could prove that the site was occupied even up to 2,000 years earlier than had been previously thought. The discoveries were made during work to build a new car park at the National Trust property near Cambridge. The Cambridge Archaeological Unit said the site, containing possible roundhouses, a granary, pottery and a shale bracelet fragment, could have been a farmstead. The features uncovered are believed to date from the late Bronze Age to the Middle Iron Age, so that's around 1000 BCE to 100 BCE. They include possible storage pits which have contained pottery, animal bones and burnt stones, which would have been used to cook food. Before the excavation, occupation of the site could only be traced back as far as the early 1100s, when the King Henry I had a hospital built there. The Cambridge Archaeological Unit seem to be doing well because they are the ones that have been discovering these amazing finds, the Bronze Age finds at Must Farm. Now, Neanderthals, let's go back in time a little bit more. In fact, they've discovered the remains of 44,000-year-old Neanderthal buildings constructed using the bones of mammoths. The circular building, which was up to 26 feet across, is believed to be the earliest example of domestic dwelling built from bone. Neanderthals were initially thought to have lived in natural caves for shelter. The new findings, however, suggest these ancient humans had settled in areas to such a degree that they built structures where they lived for extended periods of time. Analysis by researchers from the Muséum National d'Histoire Naturelle in Paris also found that many of the bones had been decorated with carvings and ochre pigments. It appears that the Neanderthals were the oldest known humans who used mammoth bones to build a dwelling structure. This mammoth bone structure could be described as a basement with a wooden cover or a windscreen. Neanderthals purposely chose large bones of the largest available mammal, which was, yes, you guessed it, the woolly mammoth, to build this structure. Under the cold climate, in an open environment, the lack of wood led them to use bones as a building material to create protection against the wind. The structure was discovered near the town of Molodova in eastern Ukraine on a site that was first discovered back in 1984. It was constructed of 116 large bones, including mammoth skulls, jaws, 14 tusks and leg bones. And inside, at least 25 hearths filled with ash were also discovered, suggesting that it had been used for quite some time. The researchers believe that the Neanderthals both hunted and killed mammoths for meat before using their bones, but also collected some of the bones from animals that had died of natural causes. Simon Underdown, a senior lecturer in biological anthropology who researches Neanderthals at Oxford Brookes University, said, "It's another piece in the newly emerging Neanderthal jigsaw puzzle. Far from being the stupid cavemen of popular image, it's becoming increasingly clear that Neanderthals were a highly sophisticated species of human. We can now add shelter building to the list of advanced behaviours that included burying the dead, spoken language, cooking and wearing jewellery." I know a few people like that just now as well, actually. One of the Jersey's most valuable archaeological treasures, an extremely rare jadeite ring, has been returned to the island. The Neolithic polished stone was thought to have been lost from the island for good in 1993 when it was sold to a private collector. But the Société Jersey received a donation from one of its members towards an auction bid. So together with Jersey Heritage and the support of archaeologists at the Prehistoric Society, the British Museum and the Centre National de la Recherche Scientifique in France, they managed to buy it at a Christie's auction. I nearly said Christmas auction there. At a Christie's auction in New York earlier this month for $17,500. It will now be returned to the island where it will go on show. The ring, which was discovered in 1986, is made from stone quarried high in the Alps and was one of the few highly valued objects brought to the island by the first colonizing farmers more than 7,000 years ago. Well, that is one hell of a Christmas present there. It's just sad that it got sold off in the first place. Now, back to Neanderthals, but not so good this time. Modern humans possess brain structures larger than their Neanderthal counterparts, suggesting we are distinguished from them by different mental capabilities. We're currently the only extant human lineage, but Neanderthals are closest known evolutionary relatives still walked the Earth as recently as 24,000 years ago. To find out more, researchers used CT scanners to map the interiors of 5 Neanderthal skulls, as well as 4 fossil and 75 contemporary human skulls, to determine the shapes of their brains in 3 dimensions. The investigators discovered modern humans possess larger olfactory bulbs at the base of their brains. This area is linked primarily with smell, but also with other key mental functions such as memory and learning. Intriguingly, smell may also play a social role such as recognizing family and friends and reinforcing group cohesion. I wouldn't recommend that at the Christmas party. Do not, I repeat, do not sniff your mother-in-law. Compared with Neanderthals, modern humans also possess large temporal lobes and the area near the base of the brain. Neuroscientists relate temporal lobes with language functions, long-term memory, theory of mind, which is the ability to consider the perspective of others, and also emotions. We also have a relatively wider orbital frontal cortex than Neanderthals, a part of the brain immediately above the eyes. This area is linked to decision-making. All in all, it remains unclear exactly how these brain differences might have set us apart from Neanderthals. We only know how the skulls moulded themselves around the brains and not the precise structures of the brains in question. Now, Otze, I bet you all know when he was discovered, back in 1991 on a glacier near the mountainous border between Italy and Austria, where he'd been naturally mummified about 5,300 years ago. Well, previous analysis concluded that Otze's stomach was almost empty of food, but Albert Zink of the Institute of Mummies and Icemen in Bolzano in Italy and his colleagues realised that the empty stomach was in fact a section of Otze's colon, and that the real stomach, which had been forced upwards under the iceman's ribs, actually contains plenty of partially digested ibex meat. Suggesting that Otze enjoyed a hearty meal very shortly before he was shot from behind with an arrow. Otze had 3 gallstones as well, suggesting a diet rich in animal fat. Previous work showed his arteries were full of fatty deposits. His knees also showed evidence of wear associated with hiking in a mountainous terrain. Being shot with an arrow after a large meal? Again, sounds like a nice Christmas dinner. A portion of a spear point shaped from chert has emerged from 2.4 metres below a city parking lot along the Cedar River in the city of Cedar Rapids. That's in Iowa, USA. David Benn, research coordinator and principal investigator for Bear Creek Archaeology, calls the find of the Hardaway spear point, named for a site in the state of North Carolina, significant and a rare event in the state of Iowa and the Midwest. Its estimated age, about 9,500 years, comes from its similarity to spear points from more extensively studied sites. Ben says that the 9,500 years ago, people had already been in the area for at least a couple of thousand years. He describes a spear point as very thin and technologically advanced over projectile points from earlier times. The archaeological work is taking place on the east side of Cedar River in advance of a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers flood control project. The dig also turned up prehistoric pottery from the late woodland period of about 1,000 to 1,500 years ago and the middle woodland period from 2,000 years ago. Now to Saudi Arabia. On a lonely hillside a few kilometres outside the capital of Jaffa province, Sakaka, that's in Saudi Arabia, of course, stands clusters of 3-metre-tall standing stones. Many of these monuments have fallen over and others lean at crazy angles, but some of them are even etched with ancient Thamudic graffiti. Al-Rajajil, which means the men, were sandstone monoliths, some of them weighing up to 5 tons, and is popularly called Saudi Arabia's Stonehenge. They're possibly the oldest human monuments on the peninsula. Sometime in the Chalcolithic or Copper Age, people living in the area where Al-Jaf is today erected 54 groups of these stone pillars. Each group contains from 2 to 19 pillars. At ground level, there's no immediately obvious placement of the groups. However, aerial images suggest a rough alignment to sunrise and sunset. An archaeological dig over 30 years ago at the base of one set of pillars failed to find any bones or even votive offerings, suggesting that they were not a religious site. But of course, if they're aligned to the sunrise and sunset, well, who knows? They could also represent landmarks for a trade route. Al-Jaf was a significant stopover point on the trade route between Yemen and Mesopotamia. Chinese archaeologists recently found a high-status structure dating back to about 3,600 years ago at the Erletu Bronze Age site in Henan province. It's the best-preserved structure ever found at the site and may be the prototype for the temples of the Shang Dynasty between 1600 BCE and 1046 BCE. At the site, archaeologists have found the foundations of the structure, which has at least 3 courtyards and covers a total area of 2,100 square metres. The site contains artifacts relating to the Yangshou and the Longshan cultures about 5,000 years ago, but it also has them going all the way up to the Eastern Zhu and Eastern Han dynasties. But the site had its heyday during the Xia dynasty from the 21st to the 17th centuries BCE. And the culture created during this period is also known as the Erletu culture. The Erletu complex is an amazing discovery and could be the earliest imperial palace in China, so they say. Built 3,700 years ago, the well-designed structure, along with surrounding buildings, forms the centre of what could be an ancient capital. Although it's only about a seventh of the size of the imperial palaces of the Ming dynasty, this complex is a prototype, possibly, he adds, of all later imperial palaces. Well, there we have it. It's a very, very short archaeology news this week. But then again, I've got to get my turkey into the oven and get myself all prepared for Christmas. So it only goes for us again to say a very happy Christmas, a wonderful new year, and we will see you in 2012. Of course, if you cannot stand to wait until then, keep your eye out on Stone Pages, where you'll be getting lots and lots of prehistoric news. And yes, we work through the holiday periods at Past Horizons, where we're keeping you up to date with all the latest news, the articles, and all the sites that you could be joining in 2012. And of course, you'll need tools to do that. And if you haven't had them for Christmas, then as a special present in 2012, the Past Horizons Archaeology Tool Store is open for business. You'll find that at www.pasthorizons.com. Remember, more can always be found at Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com, and we'll see you in 2012.